You are currently the only person in this conference.
Hello?
Hi, Joan.
Hi, Cecily.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. According to my records, we should have about 25. One did cancel.
Ah, all right.
Their family.
We'll see who
shows
up.
So you'll see.
Yeah, I can. Well, we can see with the. I'm here with my son Justin. He's going to actually help me to run the board here. So we've
okay.
got a lot
hi,
of
Justin.
Going on. She said hi. I've got you on a microphone here, so we're
are
all
you
in
recording
the...
this at all?
Yes.
Somebody asked me that, and I never even thought of that.
Automatically recorded, so you can post it afterwards if you want.
Okay, great. If you can show, you know, tell Ava or me how to do that. Ava's the one that posts it. But...
I can just send it to you.
Send it to me, and then we'll send it to her. That's fantastic.
Okay.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, no, it's automatic. What's the nice thing about a Maestro conference, it just does that.
Ah.
So we're in the green room right now, and I love the fact we have a green room. It's so cool. So as people call in, though, they should get music. So they, you know, until we decide to start the call. So
okay.
we unless you wanted to greet people, so that's up to you. We can go into the main room.
We can greet them. That's fine too. You know, I think the only thing is I'm going to give you a quick introduction, which is the same thing that was on the. You know, the invite.
Okay.
And then let you talk and sell yourself.
Okay. All right, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Either
way.
Yeah, I think we're okay here. We're you know, just to see who shows up. That's the tricky part here. You know, people sign up for these things and then you know, you don't
things happen,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is an awkward time. You know, this is the time I mean 6 to 7:30. I just realized that. I didn't think about it in terms of people's dinners and children and
yeah.
I don't know. This is the time you usually use?
I think they did it at 7:30 to 9 one time.
Ah, okay.
But I think, you know, who knows?
I'm not sure it matters. When
I don't think 7:30 to 9 is going to be much better for the East Coast people.
Yeah. Well, do you have people you think are calling in from other places? Or?
Most of them seem to be East Coast.
Okay.
Let me see their phone numbers. 978-781-508. Well, one might be. I don't know 925. I don't know 954. I don't know 919. But the rest are indeed New England. So there may be three from other locations.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I didn't even think about that. People could be spread out all over.
Yeah, they could be, and I could go back to the master list and check where they're all from.
Oh, that's okay.
I just entered their phone numbers. Which sort of gives me a quick hint as to where they're from.
Mm.
I know the local area codes.
So, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled to, you know, I've been doing this workshop with, I think I told you, with the unemployment office, and I've become quite popular.
Oh, great. Which one do you work with, unemployment office?
I'm working in the Quincy office and the Plymouth office.
Okay. So, yeah, I know the guy who runs the Newton office.
Ah, oh, I haven't ventured that far.
Well, if you ever want to, I can give you a personal introduction. He's a great guy.
Well, that's good to know.
He's been
a
friend for years.
I think at this point I'm reaching.
I think you're a backstop, but in case you ever find out you want, you know, to venture further.
Yeah, that's a good, it's good to know. But I, you know, at this point, I've done this so many times now within the local area. I'm like, I think I'm, I can't, I may, I need to move on to something new.
Good.
But you know, it is. I think it's been very useful with the, particularly people who are unemployed, because they, you know, they get so down. And you know,
Yeah, they do.
yeah.
Having been unemployed once in my life.
Ah, well, I've been laid off 5 times. So
Oh, wow.
Nick was the first time I was laid off, and that was the longest time I was laid off. But you know, having been through it so many times, you know, you realize that you know, it's, I think it's really tough for people, especially I think the DEC one, because also you, I was there for so long,
Yeah.
and you know, people who were, you know, I had a guy in my class last week who had 23 years with State Street Bank, or the what is it, the Bank of America, I guess now, and you know, he you know, it's, he just was lost, you know. So when you know, when people have been so long, and I don't know, how long did you work for DEC, Joan?
25 years.
25.
Became DEC,
so, yeah.
became Compaq, became HP, and I finally said goodbye. I could still be there today. I was getting depressed because it was the golden handcuffs kind of thing. Do I want to switch to becoming a photographer, or do I want to earn good money?
Well, it sounds like you're having much more fun with the
It's a lot more fun, yeah.
There you go.
But you know, it was the golden handcuffs. So, you know, I downsized the house initially in preparation for this, and then my son got out of college, and I went, okay, time to do it.
There you go. That helps. And now you can do something you enjoy.
Right.
And that's the way I feel about the life coaching now too, and the teaching, and that just to be able to do something that, you know, makes me feel really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I do some volunteer photography, which, you know, I don't like. Most volunteer places, I guess I've never liked, but volunteering to photograph things, it's been a lot of fun. So when nonprofits and whatnot need
Oh,
help.
okay. So I was going to say, who would hire you for that? That's
Yeah, nonprofits. You
Did
know,
you do
you know.
portraits, Joan?
Yes, absolutely.
Ah, because I actually need a portrait.
Yes, you do. But I wouldn't have said so.
Ah, you didn't like my portrait. My son took that picture.
No. Well,
That's
that's just it. Your son took it. It's a
right.
snapshot, right?
It was just a snapshot. So
Right.
yeah, I need to. I do need a professional one. Is that something we could arrange? Or
Sure, we can.
Excellent. Now, where are you?
I'm
You
in
in
Bedford,
Quincy?
Mass.
In Bedford. Okay.
So that's, if you're in Quincy, then that's you know, an hour
Well,
away.
I'm in Hull, but I'm not. You know, we could. You know, we can figure Bedford's not
Yeah,
too bad.
well, you know, when you're coming north one day.
Yeah. All right. We'll have to think about it. You know, actually, fairly soon.
Yeah, take a look at my webpage.
Okay.
And take,
What
you
is
know,
it,
get, you'll get an idea, joanross.com.
Just a Joan Ross joke. Okay.
And you can get an idea of what my portraits look like. I do weddings, bar mitzvahs, portraits, and work for companies doing, you know, headshots and, you know, snapshots, or not snapshots, photographs for, you know, reports and print, you know, print media that they want.
Excellent. All right. Well, this is cool. I knew that was important. We talked before this. Fuck this. Go
Yeah, there we go. But no, I wouldn't have said a word to you, you know.
No. Well, it. You
You
know
know,
what? It
I
is.
there are a lot of people I could say, "Hey, your portrait doesn't look good on that web page." That's not my, you know, I could do that, but that doesn't make them feel good.
No. But you know, I definitely need a new one, and I'm actually to starting certification in October for a life mastery consultant, which is it's with Mary Morrissey. I'm not sure if you've heard of her, but she was
No.
in Beyond the Secret. Did you see The Secret, the movie,
No.
The Secret? Okay, well, then they made a Beyond the Secret, and she's in it. It is based on the law of attraction kind of thing. So you know, I'll
Oh,
learn
okay.
her
Yep.
stuff.
Well.
And
Yep.
you know, learning to do that, and so one of the things they required is a professional photograph. I was
All
like,
right.
oh well, I guess I can't go with my little picture that I you know I
Well,
had
you
one and I
can, but you know, that
somewhere.
would be one of the comments you get along the way.
Yes.
If you don't get around to your professional photograph, you know, use that, and they will ding you on it.
Definitely. So, all
But
right, we'll plan on that then. That's very
okay.
cool. So, you know, I will let you know, and I could set up some time to come up your way.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes about, I like you to leave an hour for the session. Usually it takes about 40 minutes to take the photograph. We run upstairs, see if you like what we did. If not, we run back and do another 20 minutes.
Okay.
You pick out the one image you like, and then I do my Photoshop work on it.
Right.
Because I always do a little Photoshop work on everything.
Well, sure. Yeah, you know, clean it up and make me...
Clean it up, you know, sharpen it a little.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we do have one person, Bob Moore, and Mark Silverberg. We can see them as they come in. So we've got a couple of people coming in. So.
Okay, good.
I'll just give it a little bit more time.
Yeah.
That's a couple of early birds.
Absolutely.
What would you recommend that I wear for something like that?
Solid colors.
Solid colors, yeah.
Yeah, if you want, and then you decide, do you want to just wear a nice blouse, a nice jersey, a dress? Because we're just going to do the top part, or do you want a jacket
right,
on? Yeah. You want something more formal. And you pick the color you feel you look best in, and I tell you to bring one or two changes.
Changes. Okay. So
yes, because somebody, you know, one lady showed up in a green top, you know, green, and she says it's my favorite color, and she didn't like the way the picture looked, so she liked it better in, you know, her black and white.
Interesting.
Tweed jacket. So it's a matter of what kind of image you want to portray.
Mm.
Another lady thought she looked good in, you know, even though I told her to wear a solid color, she came in a paisley blouse.
Oh, dear.
And I learned at that point, bring several tops.
Because
she did not like what I did. Because she wouldn't have. Because I told her she wouldn't look good in paisley. It's too busy. And you need something solid where they're going to look at you, not what you're wearing.
Right. Well, we will...
But when you're ready, I have a what to wear list.
Excellent. All right. Well, I will call you next week, and we'll figure this out because
good.
I think that would be terrific. How cool!
Yeah.
I've been putting this off, so we definitely need to get to look professional here. And I have to cut my hair. That's the other thing. So.
Yes, and some people I tell, you know, go get your makeup put on by, you know, Macy's or whomever that morning.
Oh, I have.
If you're a makeup person,
too.
You know.
Yeah, okay, have a
real nice look. And some people do it, some people don't. That's fine. You don't have to. But my girlfriend dragged me off when we had a high school reunion to getting my face made up, and I had to say it looks great.
You know, when someone else does it sometimes, it's not...
Well, I don't put on that much makeup, so
it looked
good.
Since I left the corporate world, you know, makeup has not been my top priority, so...
No.
Yeah, it's I think it is different when people do it. So, looks like we got 8 people.
Okay.
Oh, the guy up at the top. There we go.
Well, 8... Let's start.
And, well, there's 9. So we're putting them into breakout groups now. So we're gonna have them work in pairs.
Okay.
So, because I have them do exercises where they and with a big group like this, you can't really just sort of open the mic. So, so we'll see how this works. It's gonna be. Interesting.
Yeah, it will be. I've never been to a call like this where you get into breakup groups.
Do you want to participate? That's a question.
No, I don't need to stay positive. I am positive, but if you need another person, by all means, I'll do it.
Okay, all right. So
I'm just saying, you know,
stay with us.
My times are not challenging. They're very good.
Pretty good. So you're
you know, leaving HP was good.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, leaving my last job was definitely good.
Yeah.
So we've got 6 o'clock. We have 9 people.
Well, let's say hello. And if a few more get on, your son, Justin, can keep on hooking him up. And we'll explain to him that that's going to happen. That's all. You'll explain it. I'm going to introduce you.
All right. So why don't Justin, you put us in the main room? And Joan, you'll be up.
I'm going to be
ahead.
Up, yeah.
Okay. Hold on a second. Oh, the little people up there. Hold on a minute. Did this the other day. I think if you see that, you click that and it goes to the main room. Did I get the main room the last time? Hold on, we have a little technical difficulty here.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Can anybody hear me? Can anybody speak to me?
No, they're not going to be able to, actually.
Oh, they're not able to speak to me. Okay, that's good. This is Joan Ross, and welcome to How to Stay Positive in Challenging Times at the Con Call. We have on the telephone with us life coach Cecily MacArthur. She's a transition specialist to learn powerful ways to help manage changes in your life from a positive perspective. And I'm going to turn the phone over to Cecily, who will talk about how this session will work. It's an interactive session, and it's a, I think every one of you has gotten the workshop handouts to take a look at as Cecily moves along. So, Cecily?
Hello, and welcome to our workshop. It's an honor to be here with you tonight, especially speaking to Debt Connection people. I'm really thrilled to be able to do this. It's something we've been working on to develop this class, and to do it as a teleconference is a sort of a new challenge. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about the Maestro Conference. So you all registered there and then moved into this new technology, and I'm very excited about it. It will make this teleconference a lot more interactive. If you've listened to a teleconference before, there's usually you can ask some questions by pushing a button, but pretty much there's just somebody talking at you. This great, wonderful software allows us to do some breakout groups. So we will be testing that to see. Let's see, how many groups do we have? We have 6 groups, it looks like. So what we want to do to get it started is to have you, we're going to test these breakout groups. There should be, it looks like, 5 groups of 2 and 1 group of 3. If other people come in, we'll make more groups. But this, so far, that's what we've got. So what you're going to get, we're going to test this software. We're going to put you into a breakout group. And so introduce yourselves and talk about a little bit why you're here, and then we'll bring you back. So here we go. Joan?
Yes?
Hi, we're back in the green room.
Okay.
A little breakout.
All right. So
oh,
we have
okay.
About 12, 13 people, huh?
Mm, like they're talking.
We hope so. Or can
chatting.
You tell that they're talking?
I can tell that their little microphones are working.
Oh, good.
Some of them aren't talking much, so let's bring them back then.
Okay.
And we have a little. We're going to use the tones. Okay. All right. Did everyone? Hopefully, was able to. Looks like based on the technology, we were able to do that. If you were able to talk to someone in your breakout group, I'd like you to push 1 on your phone, so we can also another feature of Maestro. Just push 1 if you were able to talk to someone on the phone. Right? Looks like we've got some people voting. And if you couldn't do it, well, we had 1 person push 3. Okay. I'm not sure what that means, but that's good. All right. So it looks like most of you voted, and most of you were able to talk on the breakout group. So we're going to be doing that again as we proceed through. And so the people you met in your little breakout group will be people that you'll work with for the duration of the program. So let me talk a little bit about what this is. I actually developed this program for an employment office in the South Shore where I live, and it was just an idea I had and talked to the manager of the unemployment office, said, you know, I've got some material that might help people to be a little bit more positive, particularly while unemployed. I became quite popular and ended up in another office because I got people wanted me to go there, and I've also ended up doing this conference for a couple of job clubs in churches in different places, and I'm also for a New Beginnings group, which is a group for divorced and widowed people. So it's been popular. So this is our first teleconference. So we're trying to translating an in-person workshop to this teleconference technology. So I'd like to know a little bit more about you guys and who you are. So hold on. I have my assistant here. Justin is helping me. Justin Randy's also is not only my assistant, but he's also my son and my business partner. So he's running the board here, and he's going to clear the just for the voting there. And then we're going to ask you to, I'd like to know a little bit more about what kind of transition or challenges are going on in your lives. So if you are currently in a career transition, I'll have you push 1 on your phone. In a relationship transition, I'll push 2. Or a health transition, push 3, and if it's something else that not something besides those 3 things, push 4. So we're getting a lot of people in career. We've got 1, 4, and 8 career transitions. Wow. All righty. So looks like a couple of people didn't vote, but that's okay. I'm hoping that everyone's hearing me. Oh, there we go. We got a 1-3. All right. So we got everybody. So we got 1. 1 for health, and most of the majority looks like career transitions. All right, so we'll kind of focus a little bit more on that as we go through, so you can benefit from all the many times I've worked with people who were in that position also. So a lot of this material is particularly pertinent to that. So, okay, we're going to move on to agenda. I wanted to ask you all pens and pencils. Everybody's got a pen to write, and hopefully everyone got a copy of the presentation. If you didn't get the workbook, you can use just a piece of paper, which will be fine. If you need time to get a pen or a paper, would you hit 1 now so we can give a pause for a minute? Okay, looks like fun. Everybody's got pens. We're moving. The agenda, then, what we're going to do is we're going to talk initially a little bit about the difference between positive and negative energy and how we can be more aware of that in what we do and what we say and how we feel in our bodies. So we'll talk about that. And then we're going to talk about taming your inner critic. This is going to be that little creature that sits on your shoulder and tells you you're not good enough and that you're never going to get what you want. So we're going to talk about how to shut that down. And we're also going to talk about the power of gratitude, and gratitude being an incredible way to boost your level of happiness and joy in your life, and definitely a practice that can help you to switch your attitude very quickly. And I'm a big person on developing action plans. So all this whole project is, this class is really to help you to focus in on some things that you really want to make commitments for, that you would really want to do for yourself to be able to move forward and to get into action. So we're going to end with that. And you'll have commitments you've made to yourself to take forward after today. All righty. So we're moving on to in your packet is page 3. And this exercise, you'll see there that there is a scale from 1 to 10. And on the far right is that, you know, it'll be that extremely negative, as fearful and anxious as you can possibly be. And the number 10 would be on the right, would be extremely positive and joyous and happy. So where are you right now? So you can mark it down for yourself. How positive are you in this moment? we're going to do is press, if you press 1, if you rating yourself as 5 or below, press 2 if you're a 6 or a 7, press 3 if you're 8 or above. Wow, okay. So it looks like we've got sort of a tie for 5 and below and 6 and 7, so majority of you are in that category, and we have just a few real happy people who are more on the high end in the 8 or above. So good. It's really important to be able to measure this, and I like this scale because it also is useful for any given moment for you to see where your energy is. Depending on what's happening with you, depending on what's going on in your life, you can stop and say, wait a minute, where am I on this scale, and you know, how low am I going here? And what we're going to be talking about today is really to be able to pull yourself up from this scale, from, you know, wherever you are, to a more positive place, to keep moving to the right-hand side. And we'll refer to this throughout the workshop so you can see and have a sense of where you are. So think about it as you are thinking about it in terms of energy. So the left-hand side, 5 or below, tends to be, you know, a lower energy. It's more of a contracted space, definitely has you more closed down and negative. As you move up, your energy expands and your heart starts to open. So that's our goal here today, is to move into action and to move more on the upside. So what I'd like to do is to try a little visualization exercise with you. So what I'd like to have everyone do is to sit back and close your eyes. Put your feet on the floor. If you've got a pen in your hand, you know, put it down. Unfold your arms. Just relax. Sit back. Take a deep, relaxing breath. And focusing on your breath and letting it go. And just relax. I'd like you to keep in mind the scale that we just did. Picture the negative left-hand side. And picture on that side energy moving from the outside of you into a downward spiral. Picture it pulling you down. Feel your shoulders hunching over. Make your hands into fists. Feel your breath get shorter. Feel a frown on your face. Now listen as I read a list of negative energy words. Picture them as clearly as you can and notice how they make you feel. Which words stand out for you? Notice what is happening in your body and where you are feeling it. Fear, hate, anxiety, complaints, meanness, blame, weaknesses, powerless, unconscious, criticism, scarcity, ease, bored. Separation, roadblocks, stuck, failure. Okay, now we're going to move over to the right-hand side of the scale, to the higher energy part, and we're thinking about energy radiating outside from inside of you. So I wanted you to change your posture, and I want you to sit back in your chair and throw back your shoulders, open your arms wide, take a deep breath, put a smile on your face. Now I'm going to listen to me while I read a list of positive energy words. Picture them again as clearly as you can and notice how they make you feel. Notice what is happening in your body and notice where you're feeling it in your body. Positive energy, expansion words, joy, love, gratitude, kindness, praise, strength, powerful, conscious, support, abundance, wellness, excited, connection, pathways, action, success. All right, so you can open your eyes and appreciate your cooperation in doing this exercise. I really wanted you to really feel it and see what's happening. So I'd like to have a sense of what really did occur. If you would like to share what happened to you during this exercise, if you press 1 on your phone, we'll call on you. How do we do that? Anyone like to talk about what happened to them during this exercise? Okay, so we have Joe. And Joe, we just gave you the microphone. Can you speak? Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Very good. There you are. This is working. I love this. So what was your experience, Joe?
Well, during the negative words, I mean, I could just feel myself tensed up. And like you talked about, it felt like going into a dark hole.
Mm.
And during the positive, it was just completely the opposite of just this slight feeling of euphoria that occurs.
Great. That's perfect. It's a great description. Can you tell me, what did you have a sense of where in your body you were feeling it when you said it was a dark hole? Where did you have your any kind of emotions that came up to you? Do you remember?
Just sort of center chest, and my fists were clenched tighter.
Okay, so yeah. You got a constriction in your chest, and you were definitely clenched up. You could feel that constriction.
Yeah, definitely. And then, when you went to the positive side, it was just like everything just opened up.
Excellent. So do you know where you felt that in your body?
Pretty much everywhere. My whole body relaxed.
Relaxed, yeah. You definitely feel it. Feel your shoulders come down a little.
Yeah, and, just sat back and everything just kind of relaxed.
Great. Did you feel anything in your heart? That was kind of what I was looking for. Do you remember?
I don't know if maybe that's the center of my chest.
Okay. But when you were more relaxed, did you feel that at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, that feeling of relaxation just makes you feel a sense of calmness and well-being.
Definitely. That's terrific. I really appreciate you sharing what that experience was like for you, Joe. Is there anything else you want to mention? Were any words that stood out for you?
No, not in particular, no.
Okay, all right. Good. All right, well, thank you so much for your comments.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, Joe. Is there anyone else who'd like to share what happened to them? Okay, just press 1 if you wanted to share. All right. Well, that's fine. We can keep moving. But I want the point, and that Joe really shared it well, was for you to really have the experience of the energy and the shift, and really to feel it in your body, because this really is there is a significant difference depending on where you are on that scale, where you're thinking about, what you're focused on, and what's really happening for you. And it affects you emotionally and physically, and also even spiritually. Some people are feeling of that reaction, as depending on where you are on the scale. So we're going to do a lot more of introspection as we go through the work today. And I wanted to people to really pay attention to what's happening to the energy in their body as we do the next exercise. That's really what we're doing that for. And there's a lot of self-awareness here because you're the only one who can move you up that scale. So we're going to talk a little bit more about energy in this idea of energy choices. And definitely when you have that constricted spiral feeling and your heart is really closed in that point, it really ends up making you feel like you are going into this negative spiral. You can feel that energy spiraling down, down, down. So part of it is to if you wanted to actually picture your heart as a kind of a valve, like a water valve, and think of the heart when you're on the left-hand side of the scale, your energy is really closed down. Your heart is closed down. The valve is closed. So when you're moving up the scale, you're actually opening up the valve into your heart and to your energy. And you can actually picture that and think about that to actually open yourself up to receive love and joy in your life. So when you're closed down on that left-hand side, it's not coming in, heart's closed. You move up the scale, your heart is opening, you're able to receive more happiness and joy. So it depends on what we're focusing on, because whatever we pay attention to, we're going to get more of. So if we focus on the left-hand side, on the fear, that's what we're going to see more of. We like to listen to the news and get into all the horrible negative things that happen every day, then our lives are going to be focused in that area. You switch it over to the other side and start focusing more on joy and things that make you happy, things that you enjoy doing, things that bring you up and make you feel positive, you're going to see more of those. So just know that whatever it is that you choose to focus on, you're going to get more of. You're going to have, more anxiety or more scarcity or more peace and abundance. And as the phrase goes, so whatever you resist persists. So if you're really stuck on that negative side, you're going to get more of it. And that I heard a really good phrase the other day that I thought really was appropriate here, because there are no victims, there are only volunteers. So when you're on that left-hand side, know that you really put yourself there and made the choice to stay there, and that you have a choice at any moment to move up that scale. So that one of the tricky parts is that we are actually biologically set up to focus on negative emotions. So we kind of start out really on that left-hand side, and the majority of people really do hang out there, unfortunately, because we back in the whole idea of the survival of the species in when we were cave people, thinking about, you know, the whole saber-toothed tiger and the flight and fight or flight stress response. I always get caught on that. To think about what happens to us in that idea of just when we experience change, we respond in a negative way. We're wired that way. It's a survival instinct, and it takes a lot of energy for us to realize that. So what happens to us just naturally is, again, that valve closes, it constricts the flow of energy. Life energy, your muscles tighten, your breathing gets shallow, circulation is hampered, can't think straight because your blood is not going to the brain, it's going to the arms and legs. You've got huge stress hormones rising in your body. It takes like 8 seconds to flood your body. So a lot of people living in this extra stress area by staying in on the left-hand side, you're actually living in this high-stress way. And keeping it, so it was designed for just the moments of stress when the tiger showed up. But now in modern society, unfortunately, we tend to live, just stay there. We're stuck there. That's how we're used to it. That's what we have a tendency to be. So in order to do that, we really have to think about how to actually positively move over and to expand our perspective and to actually have us move into the higher end of the right hand side of the scale to get that bigger picture and have more energy flowing through our bodies to open up that valve and expand the body functions. This is, again, where we feel calm and collected and much more coherent. It increases the blood flow to the brain from this point. So we get dilation of the blood vessels and the muscles relax, and we actually get much more brain function, which is a good thing. And it also is a place where we can be a lot more creative. We can think out of the box. We can actually, you know that there's a situation that needs our attention and needs to change, but we can be more creative about solutions instead of panicking in a stressful mode. So in order to actually make any change happen, we have to move into the positive emotions. It doesn't happen in that left-hand side. You're staying down there. It's really a stuck place. In order to make change, change is movement, change is action. And in order to do that, you really actually need, scientifically proven, that you need 3-to-1 ratio of positive to negative to actually make any positive change in your life, to be able to move up. So one of the number one thing that gets in the way of moving into positive directions is what we call the inner critic. The inner critic is, a lot of people think of it in different ways. It's really an internal voice in your head. It's a negative self-talk. If anybody is into Buddhism or meditation, they call it the monkey mind. It's hard to really quiet the mind. It can be a little creature or a gremlin that sits on your shoulder and whispers into your ear. And I heard a phrase the other day I thought was really funny. It was said, some people called it the weapons of mass distraction. So it's and gets in the way of what we want to do. It's really the inner critic's job to protect us. It's really keeping us safe, and that's there, you know, what it was there for. Again, gets back to the whole way that we're set up. But when we want to change, the inner critic ends up being a lot more overcautious and closed-minded than we really need them to be when we need to change. And it keeps us from growing and trying new things or to breaking old habits or moving forward. And so what we need to be, what we think of when we think of an inner critic, we think of it as more of this little voice that says to us that we can't do things. So they says things like, you can't do that, you're not good enough, you're so stupid, and you don't deserve that, or my personal favorite is, who do you think you are? So I'm assuming that all of you, I can't see you, but I'm assuming all of you recognize that little voice, things that that you've said to yourself, that really makes you feel small. And the main function of a inner critic is to keep you from enjoying your life and to keep you in the status quo, to keep you where you are. So whenever you want to change your life, it's basically you're going to get this alarm system that basically sounds off, and the inner critic is going to show up. And it wants to stop you from moving forward. It wants you to stop you from changing anything. It wants you to stop you from being successful. So it can also be kind of sneaky and seductive, and can also encourage you to procrastinate. And, you know, it's like, oh, you have plenty of time. Don't worry about that. So it's one of those things that I can, you know, have to be, it's kind of can be subtle sometimes. But in order to really get more positive, we really want to focus on being able to tame this inner critic and to get it out of the way, because it gets in the way of our getting to be able to do what we want. It can run our lives, and it can keep us from being able to hear actually our real inner voice, which is the, you know, positive things that are about ourselves. So the first step in trying to tame your critic is to really sort of make it a little bit more concrete, and to give it kind of a personality and create it as something outside of yourself, because it really is part of you. But what we're trying to do is to hold it outside yourself so you can see it as that it's not a part of the core you. It's this critical piece of who you are. So on page 5 in your workbook, I'm going to have you think about, you know, how would you describe your inner critic? So what comes to mind for you? Do you see that little creature on your shoulder? Or does it come to you, does it appear to be more like a person or something else? Some people think of it as a cloud or something that they can see as something separate from themselves. Is it a male or female? Does it have a color? Can you describe the color of it? What does it look like to you? What are some of the features that it may have? If it's a creature, you know, does it have teeth or claws or fur? And if it's a person, you know, what are they wearing? What do they look like? If it's something else, like more like a cloud, you know, what is it made up of? Think about what it would feel like to touch it. If you were going to touch this inner critic, what would that feel like? Does it have a smell? Some inner critics actually do have an odor. So let you know when they're around. How does it behave? What is its normal way of being? When it shows up, what does it do? You also want to think about your inner critic's name. Really important to give it a name, because if we're trying to give it a personality, a name is going to be really helpful to be able to separate it out. So don't dress on that too much. Whatever comes into your mind, the first word that comes into your mind, the first name that shows up, that should be the name of your inner critic. And you want to really think about, what are the things that you hear the most from your inner critic? What do they like to say to you? What are those things that you hear over and over again? Now, and also, like, have you to think about what you feel when the inner critic says these things to you. How does your inner critic make you feel? So I'll give you a minute to take some notes on that page, and then we're going to break into your breakout groups again so that you can share your inner critic with your partner. All right, so you're going into breakout groups now. So, okay. Hey, Joan, you there?
Yes.
Hi. Here. Oh, yeah.
How's your inner critic?
Oh, my inner critic, it pops up all the time, and I sit there and tell it, you know, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Okay, now you're good. People keep calling me. So, yes, it's alive and well.
We all have them, you know.
I know. And, you know, I sit there, but it's there. It exists. And I just go, well, I'm doing more business than I ever have before as a photographer, so I'm doing something right.
Good.
So after giving myself the negative lecture, I go, okay, no good, can that one.
There you go. I love it.
So it exists, and it's, you know, one day maybe it'll disappear, right? Human nature, you said, so that made me feel better.
Yeah, I don't think it goes away. That's the tricky part. But the issue is we have a choice whether to listen to it, so that's
right. Right, so yes, I know it's there. And I guess somebody along the way taught me how to tell it goodbye.
Well, I'm going to get back, because it doesn't look like we've got a lot of talking going on.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Hello. Okay. Hello. Hi. Welcome back from your breakout groups. We didn't give him a warning. We should probably do that the next time. Hopefully that all worked for you. I would like, if someone would like to share what happened. We got Joe's hand up again. All right, Joe, terrific.
Yeah, actually what happened was Bob said hi to me, I said hi to Bob, and then we went back to you guys jabbering about how you feel.
Oh, no. So you didn't, they could hear us. Oh, dear. How did that happen? We were in the green room. You shouldn't have been able to do that.
No,
oh,
we heard everything you had to say, which was very nice, actually, because then we didn't have to share.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, I'm sorry about that. Was that everybody's experience? The breakout group didn't work? Would you push one if the breakout group did not work, that you could hear us, Joan and I, talking about her inner critic? Oh, boy. All right. Looks like we totally blew that. That's why people weren't talking. We were wondering, like, why isn't anybody talking? I do apologize. Given the time, I'm gonna move on. Joe, while you're here, are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so why don't you just tell us about what your inner critic? What happened with your inner critic? What did you? How did you describe them? How did you make a personality out of them?
Well, I never thought of it as a personality. I just think of it as waking up in the middle of the night and thinking about a lot of things, and myself talking to myself, and just drilling in the negative things and the worries, and everything's a catastrophe type of thing.
The inner critic
the only way I get to shut it up is to get out of bed and go watch TV for a while.
Okay, so when we were describing your inner critic, you didn't get any kind of sense of who it was. It was just a voice in your head.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, all right. So, but what does your inner critic like to say to you? What are the things that come up in the middle of the night for you?
Oh, that, you know, I guess, I mean, my thing is, you know, being unemployed at this point, and, you know, the inner critic, you know, always starts thinking about, you know, down the road, you know, paying the bills and, you know, meeting your obligations, and, oh, what if this doesn't happen, and what if this goes wrong, and, you know, and by the time you're done with all that talking to yourself, you're a basket case.
So yeah, then when you say you're a basket case, how does that feel? What can you describe what that is?
Oh, you just get the feeling of you're not in control, and it's just not a good feeling to have.
Yeah, it is. You're feeling like so it feels bad is what I'm trying to get you to say. You're not in control.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. So I appreciate. You know what we're going to do? Just because we lost a few people in the process here. So why don't we just open up all of the mics, and then we can have everybody just take turns, because then we won't even mess with the breakout groups. I do apologize. I thought that was working, and apparently it's not. So who else would like to share about their inner critic? Did you get a personality? Anybody get a creature or a gremlin?
I named mine Leroy.
Leroy. Hi, Sheila. Okay. So Leroy, what does Leroy look like?
Leroy is just an interesting person. He's not an interesting looking person, but his personality is interesting.
Ah, okay. In what way interesting?
I'm tough on myself. Like, I allow Leroy to take over and let me beat up myself a lot, which is not good.
Yeah, so Leroy's not very, what does he say to you?
He says, it's people aren't listening to you.
Mm.
And I know that. He's telling me what I know. So, I mean, I'm not effectively communicating, basically, what he's saying. And it's true.
So he's faulting you, criticizing you. How does he make you feel?
I cry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our inner critic can actually do that to us. It's really, we give it permission to do that, which is really tough. We're going to talk about how to tame him in a minute. So
awesome.
Hopefully you can get Leroy, you know, out of that state and away from running your life. And you can
That'll
take
be
it back.
That'd Thank
be great.
You.
All right. Anybody else want to talk about their gremlin? What was that experience like, thinking about our inner critic? Anybody else?
My inner critic is mostly just a voice in my head. I don't really picture any creature, and I haven't really named it. I prefer not to really get that close to naming it.
You want to stay far away.
It's kind of like if it's a voice, it's sort of like shut off the voice if it starts to get crazy or something. But mostly it's saying things like, you know, you're not good enough, or, well, what do you expect? You know, you didn't try your best. It's not going to happen, or things like that. Just to kind of...
Okay. All right. So you just you hear it as just that inner voice.
Yeah, it's just a voice, and then you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay. So just want to make sure people know that whatever came up for you in terms of if you didn't get a creature or a person, that's fine. Just an inner voice is fine too. The issue is that people recognize that it's outside of themselves. It's not the inner you. It is this negative voice that we all have. And as Joan was saying, we're hoping she could get rid of it, but I don't think that's possible. The issue is really just all we can do is to really try to tame it. So we're going to do a little practice, and we're on page 7 in your workbook, and to figure out how to actually tame your inner critic. We all have it, and this is the number one thing that gets in the way. So part of it is the initial piece is really, again, awareness, thinking about when and how often your inner critic shows up. So being able to notice that and understand, you know, what's happening in your life that you're attracting them, you know, or what are you doing or feeling? Sometimes just being overtired, you know, particularly when you wake up in the middle of the night or you're trying to go to sleep, as Joe was talking about, you know, then that is when the inner critic has a field day, when you're already exhausted. So sometimes, you know, you can notice things that are going on with you. Like very often your body will tense up when your inner critic shows up, so pay attention to that. Think about it in terms of how you're feeling. Are you feeling, you know, think about how you have self-doubt or you're waffling or you're procrastinating. It's really just that self-critical voice that shows up and how much of that is really running your life? How much are you buying into what that critic is saying to you? And how much are you letting that be how your life is? So think about noticing that. And after this seminar, you're going to spend some time hopefully paying more attention to your inner critic. You may be surprised at how often it shows up. Initially, it's mind-boggling. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe that all of that voice is so present in my life, and that it happens so frequently. So the first step, again, noticing. Step 2 is to be aware of what that inner critic is saying to you. So part of it is to, you know, really think about wanting to take your life back because you've got this critical voice in your head saying things that nobody else would allow you to say these things. I mean, you wouldn't allow anyone else to say these things to you. So, you know, why is it okay for you to beat yourself up like that? Why is it okay for you to put yourself down and say these really horrible things to yourself? We give ourselves permission to do that to ourselves, essentially. And what we're trying to do here is for you to be aware of just how negative the things that they say are, how unusual, and how that's actually impacting your life. So in step number 3, to shut down your critic, there are several different techniques, and every person's going to be a little bit different. So you want to think about what would work for you. But the most important piece here is to really find a way that you can shut that voice down. So one of the most popular ones is to just say stop. Some people say shut up. Or, you know, it's a cancel or delete is also popular, depending on what you want to do. But the issue is to notice that it's happening and to stop it in the moment. My personal favorite is the blackboard and the idea that, you know, the words are written on the blackboard and that I could sort of visualize a eraser and just erasing the board clean makes that whole inner critic go away. Turning down the volume is also popular. Mute a mute button. We all have remotes. We like mute buttons. So one woman in one of my classes said she pictures herself turning her back to her inner critic. She had a definite gremlin of a creature, and she would just turn her back and not pay attention. So part of what we want to do is to really figure out some way to just shut it down. So what I'd like to do is to actually practice a little bit here, step number 3. So this is going to take some time for you to actually get good at it and to, you know, to be really in charge and in control. One of you were saying that you wanted to be in control. So this is important for you to be able to have this technique, to be be able to do this with your inner critic. So what we're going to do is I would like you to think of a time or of the particular phrase where you're hearing your inner critic. What are they saying to you? What negative things are coming to mind? And really just sort of picture the inner critic doing that. And I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three, and then we're all going to yell stop as loud as you can. And now if there's somebody else in the room with you or you're embarrassed to do that, you don't have to be too loud. But the idea would be to say this out loud so that you can actually make that connection of shutting down your inner critic. So here we go. Everybody has something. I'm sure you have many different situations and different phrases to hear. So here we go. We're going to do one, two, three, stop. Okay, we didn't get all. Can everyone hear me? I'm just. Okay, they're not muted. Oh, they aren't muted. Okay. Well, can you unmute them? Okay, we have you muted, and we're going to unmute you, so you can, because I didn't hear the stop part. Okay. All right. Let's try that again. We're going to now we'll look at step four. Getting a
feedback.
Getting an echo.
Yeah, I'm getting feedback. Can you hear feedback on there?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, is it better now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. So step four is actually replacing negative thoughts with positive ones. These are, if the inner critic is the I can't statements, these are the I can statements. And we don't tend to say really positive things to ourselves very often. And it's, we tend to do the negative things. We beat ourselves up and we say all kinds of critical things to ourselves. And there was actually a study done at MIT that said that, you know, for one thing that someone tells to you that you can't do something, that it takes 21 I cans to counteract that. So you have to think about how much need we have for positive messages to ourselves. So step number four is really important to, you know, to really fill in. So we're going to try step number three again, and we're going to try to add on now step number four. So try to think again of a situation where your inner critic has gone crazy and saying some awful things to you. And we're going to count to three again, and you're going to yell stop. And then you want to say, you can replace it with a positive statement, and you can say it out loud if you like, or just say it to yourself, and that's fine too. Okay, so here we go. One, two, three.
Stop. I can.
All right. Okay. So since we're all, everything's open here, what was that like to be able to do that, to be able to shut down your inner critic?
I liked it.
You liked it. Who's that?
This is Sheila. I'm sorry.
Sheila. Okay.
Yeah, we were brought up without this, and so I think it's probably a learning process. Be okay with it. We did not come up with this all.
When you said, you know, you liked it, what did you like about it? What was good about it for you?
It felt powerful.
Good. Yes, it is powerful. Because you can be in control here with this issue, because you can choose what to listen to, and you can choose your thoughts, and you can say good things to yourself, too. So that's great. Good. So it sounds like something that you can utilize.
It is. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Sheila. Anybody else? Nobody else wanted to talk about their inner critic? Okay. Any other comments on this as an exercise or as a concept for helping you to be more positive, to be able to move up that scale? Any other thoughts? What's happening to it? Nope, they're all open? Okay.
This should be required for people having children. They should be required to learn how to do this. Kids come up in a very positive environment.
Ah, yes. Well, it definitely translates to to relationships, too, because we do that in it's just paying attention to what comes out of our mouths and what we think. And, we can do it to ourselves and we can do it to other people. Absolutely. So it's a good self-awareness. Absolutely. Someone else have a comment? How would you use this exercise going forward, this idea of an inner critic? How could it be useful to you?
I think you have to just practice saying, you know, your stop phrase, whatever it is, and then following it up right away like another lady did with the I can, or
mm-hmm.
I'm okay, this is fine, I'm doing fine, whatever you have to say to kind of just do something positive after the stop thing so that the last thought is not the negative but the positive piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way, if you sort of can get into the habit of saying stop, I can, then you maybe twist yourself into really reminding yourself to focus on the positive piece of it and stop dwelling into the negative. Because because it's really easy to get kind of dwelling in that.
Absolutely.
Mired in it. Yeah.
Mired is a good word, unfortunately, because that really is we do that to ourselves all the time. So, again, that's terrific to be able to practice this, and you're going to get better at it. It is something that, and it's sneaky because the inner critic shows up at a lot of different times. So you want to definitely, you know, pay attention to it. So we're going to move on to another area where that can actually help you to build a more of your resistance and to be able to manage your inner critic better. And so on page 8 is really sort of knowing your strengths. And this is really a sense of really knowing a little bit more about who you are and what you do well. So I'd like you to think about this list. Take a moment to write this down. Think about things that you were born with. This is not things that you have learned. This is not about your job skills or your talents in terms of your the job that you do, but they're things that you were born with that are sort of in your DNA, the things that make you unique. And if it's helpful, you might think about, you know, what would your friends and family say are your strengths? So I'd like you to make a list and think about your special talents, anything that you were naturally able to do in terms of special talents, and you can see that there's some examples there around singing or having a green thumb or being mechanical or cooking. Also, physical characteristics, what is your strengths on that in terms of, you know, potentially athletic or intelligent or high energy, and then also character, so a sense of humor, generous, kind. So what is it about you that makes you strong? What are some things about you that are the things that make you who you are? So take a few minutes and just to write down some examples there for you about who you are. Okay, given the time, I want to keep moving, but I want to... Oops. Hello? Can you hear me? Did I lose people? What happened?
No, you're here. This is Joe.
Okay. All right. I just heard a real funny sound on the line here. It's really funny not to have feedback and faces, so get used to this.
Oops. Feedback keeps coming in.
Okay, yeah, we're getting feedback. I don't know what that is. All right. I'd just like to ask you what it was like to make this list. So what was it like to actually write your strengths down? Unmuted, yeah. You should be all open. Does anybody want to talk about what it was like to make a list of your strengths?
Well, for me, at first, it was a little hard. It was kind of good you had a few examples down because right away the critic comes up and is like, yeah, like, what would you say?
Oh, yeah, the critic has a field day with this one. Because
yeah,
that,
so,
you know
when you had a few examples, it kind of got you a chance to sort of focus on a little more positive aspect about your personality or whatever instead of negative aspects.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So it always is going to be tougher. If I asked you to make a list of your weaknesses, it would, you know, be a whole lot easier. But for us to focus on strengths, it tends to be something we don't do. And so the more secure you are in and understanding who you are and your and I have a lot of confidence in your abilities and your strengths, then the less the inner critic can get to you, basically. So this is an important list to think about and to actually, you know, what I recommend to people is that you actually ask friends and family, you know, what do they see as your strengths? Because it's really an important list to have to really feel good about who you are. And to know that you can go over this list. And some people, I had one woman in a class that said she, before she went into a job interview, she read through this list and it made her feel good about who she was. So you know, it's something that you can have and think about for yourself. And so what did it, having these lists of strengths, how did it make you feel? Anybody want to share on that?
Hi, this is Barry.
Okay.
Go ahead. I think I cut somebody off.
No, go ahead.
Okay, this is Barry. It felt really strange making the list. It almost felt self-serving a little bit.
A little like bragging.
Yeah. A lot like bragging, actually. kind of wired not to do this kind of thing. Well,
yes.
At least I don't know, wired or taught not to do this kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's taught.
Yeah, it's taught, definitely.
So it did feel very, to me, felt very, very strange. But after you get into it a little bit, it made me feel good.
Mm.
I'd say probably made me feel a little more empowered.
Great.
And gave me some thoughts about what I could, what I can even emphasize in dealing with others.
Good. All right. Excellent. And it is really helpful for the insight. And, you know, being uncomfortable about it is really common. I mean, some people are real good. They could just list their strengths, you know, like easily. But those most people are uncomfortable with the process. But ultimately, it does feel good when you've written it down. So we wanted to have you, you know, definitely spend some time in the future trying to build this list. So.
Okay.
Someone else saying something? I can't hear you.
Okay,
so somebody's on a call. Okay. We're moving on. All right. Well, just wanted to talk a little bit about gratitude, because gratitude is definitely been proven to, there are a lot of studies done around gratitude, that it, you know, it actually, if you're into expressing and experiencing gratitude, you're going to have many different results in your life. You're going to be more happy, you're going to have more energy, you're going to sleep better, you're going to even exercise more and you know, take better care of your health. You'll tend to socialize more, tend to, you know, care for other people. You maybe want, even people want you to be around because you're actually just more pleasant to be around, and you get more life satisfaction out of being grateful. So what we wanted to do on page 10 was to just think about, you know, what are you grateful for today? So take a moment and write it down. Make a list of things that come to mind, and be some big things or some little things. You can think about, you could be grateful for beautiful trees in the that you've seen today changing color, or you can say the chocolate cake you had for lunch, whatever it is that you're grateful for. Just make a quick list of that. Okay, in terms of the time, we're just going to keep moving on here, but I'd like to people to just share what that was like, to actually make a list of what you're grateful for. Was that easier than a list of strengths?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Way easier. All right, good. Do people have long lists or short lists?
Pretty good size list.
Pretty good size. That's great. And how did it – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, about eight different.
Oh, that's good. So what did it feel like to make that list?
Felt good.
It felt good, yeah. So the good part about gratitude, it really is, this is the, you know, the when you're in gratitude, you have to be on the higher end of the scale. You just automatically are moved up on the scale, because you can't actually, your valve is wide open here, your heart is open. You cannot be closed down and grateful at the same time. So it does feel good. It's an immediate pick-me-up, and it's something that you can do at any time to make yourself feel better. So there's some practicing gratitude ideas on page 12 for you, thinking about how you may want to think about noting things every day. It's a nice habit to get into. Keeping a gratitude journal, that's a big deal with Oprah. She's talked about, I've spent years talking about journals, and it certainly works for her. You know, before you go to bed at night, writing down, what am I grateful for today? If you're not into writing, just a mental list is fine. Counting your blessings is good. Just going through a list. There's one woman in the class who had, she actually put a little sticky on her visor in her car, said gratitude. So when she was driving, she would remember to be grateful. So it's a great way to prompt yourself. If you're already into a practicing in with prayers, so you can just add gratitude and thank God for things that you would like to be grateful for that day. Also think about it, about your wins, and make it accomplishments. It's also a great way to do it. So be grateful for what you were able to accomplish today. If you were able to get an interview or a call back, it's always a great thing to add to the list. But even, you know, just little things, sending out things, or, you know, following up And it doesn't have to be job related. Certainly it could be anything that you accomplished in a day that makes you feel good. Some people like more visual things, so you could make a vision board, and that's the idea of just putting images of all the things that you're grateful for in one place, so that all you need to do is to look at them, look at this board, and it has all your family and friends and your car and your house or whatever you're grateful for in one place, and so you just look at it and you immediately get a boost. One thing that really helps when people are making changes in their lives is to actually have future gratitude. So you can actually picture things in the future in the form of gratitude. So think of them as if they've already happened. So you know, if you want to think about I'm grateful for an interview, or I'm grateful for a positive experience of something that you are looking for. So put them in the future form, again, as if they've already happened. And that can be something that can make you feel really good about the future. So any comments about gratitude? Any thoughts about how you might use that?
There are always things to be grateful for. So when the rubber hits the road and you're not feeling good, then you can think about the things to be grateful for.
Sure. I mean, there is absolutely always things to be grateful for. But it can be, you know, just in general, doing it as a practice, getting in the habit of it. It doesn't have to be just when you're down, you know. But it can also just, you know, as something that continue to keep yourself high on the scale. And it is an immediate thing. And the more you notice the things that you're grateful for, the easier it is. I had one woman who said she actually went through the alphabet before she went to sleep at night with all the things she was grateful for. Now, I tried it. I didn't make it all the way through. I fell asleep in the middle of the alphabet. But it is quite a challenge when you think about it. So you think of gratitude as really just things that make you happy, things that make you feel good, and you just be grateful for them. You know, like A is for apples. I love apples. I love the fall and the apples, and I'm grateful for apples. You know, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, but it can definitely help you to feel good. Okay, what we want to do now is to really think about developing that action plan in the time that we have left, because this is important for you to think about, to think about steps, and they can be baby steps, just moving up the ladder, up the scale to some more positive life. And to think about in terms of, you know, which habits or actions would support a more positive attitude and which ones don't. And then we're consciously going to work on changing them. And there was actually the Dalai Lama in his book on The Art of Happiness. I really like this quote. He said, "One begins identifying those factors which lead to happiness and those factors which lead to suffering. Having done this, one then sets up gradually eliminating those factors which lead to suffering and cultivating those which lead to happiness. That is the way." So that's what we're going to try to do with your action plan, is to really think about what you could do to eliminate those negative factors and cultivate those positive ones. So on page 13, just would like to ask you, could you stop doing? What are you doing now that's a bad habit, that is not contributing to your happiness, that is something that you would like to stop doing to help you move up? What comes to mind for people? Anybody?
I think you, this is Joe. Probably procrastinating. I can do that. I can do that tomorrow. There's plenty of time since I'm not working anyway. So.
Yeah. So stop procrastinating. Well, a lot of times the inner critic is going to help you procrastinate. It's like, play another game of solitaire. You don't have to do that now, or you could do that tomorrow. So listening to that inner critic sometimes will keep you in a procrastination mode. So really getting into action, that's really important. So being aware that you have that tendency and stop yourself from procrastinating, that's terrific. Thanks, Joe. Anybody else? What else would you want to stop doing? What are some bad habits that are getting in the way for you? Well, some of the things that have come up in the past that it comes up quite a bit is to stop watching the news. The news is all about fear, and it makes you very anxious. There are some people who, you know, are news junkies, and you just, you know, I know that this can be difficult, so sometimes you can't to cut it out altogether, but you can at least cut back on it. You know, don't do it every day, or don't do it for as long as you do, but realize how negative and how much fear the news is just set up that way. I mean, there's occasionally something happy on the news, but generally speaking, it's all bad stuff. and you don't need to be told again how bad things are. So that's definitely a recommendation from a lot of people who have gone through this class, and I am definitely a big proponent of cutting out that news, or at least cutting down on it. Another thing is thinking about negative people in your life. Where are all the negative people that really spiral you down on the left-hand side there to really, you know, make you feel bad, that like to awfulize and catastrophize, as Loretta LaRoche likes to say. So who are those people in your life, and can you avoid them? Now, if they're family members, that can be a challenge, but you definitely want to think about who you can eliminate that is going to just take you down, and how to think about more positive people in your life. You know, some of the other things that just, you know, stopping to do is self-medicating. When you're on that left-hand side, that tends to be the area where we don't feel so good, but we are not changing it, so we try to make it feel better. So we tend to go to junk food, sugar, caffeine, chocolate, all these things, the alcohol, they're all things that temporarily make us feel better, but they don't help us to move out of a negative space and ultimately just make the body feel worse. And when the body's not feeling well, it's definitely not going to contribute to a positive attitude. So you just get that sugar crash after you eat that ice cream, and it doesn't do you any good. So think about your diet and, you know, improving your diet, and stop self-medicating. So how about anything that people could keep doing? What are you doing now that's working to keep you positive? What are some things that you are already doing?
I can tell you my input is that when people, there's a lot of negativity in the world.
Yes.
And when people want to go there, I just say, I'm not going there.
Good.
I tell them that. And it's
good.
They don't believe it. They have a hard time with it, but I will not do it. I won't do it.
Good. So you set good boundaries. That's great, Sheila. That's good to keep doing that. And absolutely, be able to not stay there. I mean, if people are going to do that, then you can say, no, you can stop yourself and say, I'm not going to be party to it. And
I tell them
subject.
That.
Yeah, that's great. Good for you. What else do you do, Sheila, that it makes you, that is working for you, that helps you to be positive?
I'm grateful for every day, so I'm positive anyway. But, I mean, I won't let somebody drag me down, and I think that's really important. People allow that. They think it's not going to affect them. It does affect people.
It does.
Allowing
absolutely.
Someone to take control, giving them
mm-hmm.
control, not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
good.
That's what I do. Be happy.
That's right. Good for you. Anybody else? What's working for you? What do you do to make yourself feel better?
Joe here.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise, definitely.
Exercise, yeah.
I know the days that I do it, sometimes it's hard dragging myself out of bed. And the first 5 to 10 minutes at the gym or with the personal trainer is like going through hell. But after that, sudden things start kicking in. And by the time I'm done, it's like, wow, I'm ready for the day.
Yes, yeah. Can be huge, definitely. It's, and I highly recommend it, particularly if you're unemployed and now you have the time. There's no excuse. And doing it first thing in the morning is the best way to start your day, to be able to do that. And then to get those endorphins going and get rid of all of that stress hormones in your body and all of that anxiety. And, you know, it's a number one important thing you can do for yourself. That's great, Joe. What else do you do, Joe, for yourself?
Well, I like reading, and
reading.
If I feel stressed out, that sort of is an escape, that, especially at night before I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's tremendous. Your eyes get fatigued and your head gets cleared, and at least you can initially get to sleep for a while, so that's pretty good.
Good. Great. And reading is important, or any hobby that you like to do, anything that takes your mind away. Because when you're reading, the inner critic can't be there. You don't hear the inner critic. And it shuts down all of the anxiety and even the external world. So whatever hobby you do that sort of makes a time stand still and, you know, to help take you away, you need to have some of that time in your day, because you can't be spending the whole day looking for a job or, you know, to be doing things just to keep busy. You need to do things that are actually make you feel good. So that's terrific. Anything that is in that hobby category also works out. So a couple more things here on my list is, you know, along with exercise and, you know, watching your diet, more fruits and vegetables are always important. You know, I always hate to say that, but it'll definitely, I had a woman in one of my classes, she was on a diet, and she said she was absolutely surprised when she cut out all the sugar and the extra carbs and the soda and the wine, that she actually, her mood improved. It's like, I don't feel so depressed. So it actually can make a difference. I know sleep is a challenge, particularly if you're unemployed or worried about things, but getting enough sleep is really important. And one of the things to think about is even drinking water. A lot of times we get anxious, and it's just from actually being dehydrated. So for an adult, can just be 2% dehydrated, for there just be physical symptoms, which can, you know, make you tired and depressed and give you headaches and not feel so good. So sometimes we just need more water, which can actually make us feel better. A schedule is really important. Keeping a schedule, particularly if you're not working, and making sure you're not staying up all night, and that you're getting up at a reasonable time, and that you have some things planned. So trying to fill yourself in and keep with a schedule. And just doing some things that can make you laugh. And one woman was saying she had rearranged her Netflix queue to put all the comedies on the top. She said she was tired of watching depressing movies. So sometimes just think about what else you're doing for entertainment or to help yourself feel better and just to keep a sense of humor. Are there any new things that people want to start, any new habits or anything that you can think of that you want to start doing?
Working would be good.
Working would be good, yes. Well, that ultimately is the goal of doing that, but the idea of keeping yourself positive, because you're, you know, in getting a job and being able to, it can be the toughest, actually the most difficult situation that you could have to try to keep yourself up, because you have to be in a positive attitude when you hit interviews and when you actually just have an attitude towards applying for jobs. So it can be a challenge just to make sure that you do things that are for yourself that can make you feel better. So even thinking about projects around the house, anybody have clean out closets or clutter or spend some time, you know, organizing things? I mean, all of these things can really make a huge difference to make you feel better about what you do. So the idea is to really actually get you to make an action plan. So when you put the things down that you actually want to accomplish. And so on page 14, we have you to think about sort of 3 to 5 things that you were willing and able to commit to doing within the next 30 days. So what are some things that you wanted to actually do for yourself that will actually make you feel better, that you will be fun for you, that will increase the amount of energy, that will help you to move up the scale to the right-hand side of the scale and to get into action and to feeling good about yourself? So think about that. Are there any commitments there that people that come to mind for people? Very quiet group. Anybody thinking?
This is Barry. I've got 2 things that I know I want to do. One is to actually, I guess it's related to exercise. I did it, and I've stopped doing it for a while, but I used to be a regular swimmer every morning, and I felt phenomenal. I mean, swimming was better than running on my treadmill or anything. So it just made me feel good and relaxed. There was something about the water that just swimming laps made me feel wonderful. After a half hour of swimming laps, you were set for days. It was like, it was more than endorphins. It just makes you feel very relaxed, very good, but you've got incredible amounts of energy. It's one of the exercises that I've just found, for me anyway, just better than running or jogging. So I want to get a regular swimming program going. I want to get back to one of my hobbies, which is actually wine making. I drink what I make. My son got me started on it. So he ships me really phenomenal quality grapes from Sonoma, Napa.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's great. he's got a good network out there of friends and people that actually own vineyards and are winemakers. So he's got me some grapes, and I've got to have him ship it out to me now. And I got to motivate myself to just get to it. I've got the equipment.
That's
so
great.
I want to get that done.
Good. And that will make you feel good. I can just hear it in your voice that how positive.
Yeah, it was fun. I did my first two batches last year, and it came out much better than I ever thought. It was phenomenal. But it turns out it's work when you get into it. If you really want to do it well, it's a lot of work, and I had to grab a lot of my chemistry books out. If you want to make it scientifically, it really made me pull out some of my college textbooks that were a little dog-eared, but I got back to it. It was fun.
That's great. Well, terrific. Those are terrific ideas, and it sounds like that both of them are going to give you an awful lot of pleasure. And just a comment on swimming. There is something about swimming in the water that actually does ground you and helps to eliminate anxiety. Some people are very religious about getting in the water and doing that. Just being in, also gardening and touching the earth can help you to ground too. So. Think about helping to get rid of some of the extra anxiety. So that might be some of that euphoria that you're feeling when you swim, because it definitely has a positive effect on us. So terrific. So this is like your commitment to you. This is your action plan. If you can think of some things that you definitely want to make a commitment to. And, watch out for the inner critic, because the inner critic does not like action plans, because that means you're in action. That means you're moving to on a higher up on the scale, and you're moving and you're doing something to change your life. So the critic is going to come in and... One woman said she didn't like to make an action plan because then she was afraid she would fail in doing it. And I was like, oh, that's just a gremlin who's going to tell you to do that. And this is just for you. You can change it. You don't have to. Nobody's going to be, coming over your shoulder and saying, did you achieve it? So it's not to beat yourself up. It's to help you to feel good about moving forward. So whatever you want to do to commit to that, it's really important for you to put down something and really make a commitment and really try it and really get into it. It could be a habit you want to try for the next 30 days or some actual things. Maybe you want to clean out that closet or paint a room to complete something that you haven't been able to do. Or exercise is cool. Thinking about taking care of yourself physically and being able to make a commitment to yourself. We're not used to doing this. We make commitments for everybody else. We make commitments to co-employers and family, but we don't often make commitments to work on our own happiness, and that's really what this is for. So I encourage you to, to keep your plan and to really work with this going forward. So what I'd like to do, just as in closing, is I'd like you to ask if you think, go back to the scale, on the scale of 1 to 10, and where are you now? And an hour and a half later, we've talked about a lot of different things. Just let me know if you have moved up on the scale. You don't have to push a button. You can just say that. Do people move up in the scale?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. All right. Part of the issue here is that you just did that for yourself. So I want you to realize that, just because we focused on some positive things today, we've got you to feel a little bit more powerful, shutting down your critic. We've got you to think about gratitude and things that you are in your life that you, want to be grateful for, and to really think about action and what you want to do to take care of moving up a scale. That created a much more positive you. And that's something that you can continue to do at any time. You can spend take some time to just, where am I on the scale? What's going on? What can I do to make myself feel better? What can I do to move myself up? And so you have these tools now to be able to move forward with. And I wish you the best of luck. Is there any final comments for anyone or anything that people would like to say before we close?
Yeah, I want to thank you very much. This was very good.
Oh, well, thank you, Sheila. I appreciate that. Well, tell me what was good for you. What did you learn something or something particular that stood out for you?
Yeah, I like the action plan because it's concrete. I mean, I weave in and out of positive, negative. And I think an action plan helps you get something a little more concrete.
Yes.
So you can maintain your positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
This was a helpful exercise. I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Great. Well, thank you. I'm glad that it worked for you. Anybody else have a final comment?
Yes, I have one comment on what you did today. I thought it was a good presentation. Of course, you had a little stumble with the technology. But I'd like for you to think about what Mahatma Gandhi said.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know what Mahatma Gandhi said once. He said the future depends on what we do in the present.
Yes.
And I think you came over in spades with this today for what you had us do and for what you're hoping we will do in the future. So it's what the future depends on what we do today.
Absolutely.
That's all I want to say.
We create the future with our thoughts. Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you. And I'm glad this was useful for you. Anybody else? We'll run over a little bit, so don't want to take too much longer.
Yeah, Cicely, Joe here. I just want to thank you very much because it was a very encouraging presentation.
Well, great. I'm glad. And hopefully there's some things you can take with you and keep you going, because I know it's tough when you're in that state, and you need everything you can to make yourself feel better about yourself, because you're the only one who can do that. You don't get a lot of feedback when you're unemployed, and you don't get a lot of support, so you got to be extra vigilant to do it for yourself and take that responsibility. So great. All right, folks, thank you so much for hanging in there, and beyond the challenge of the technology, I thought we were going to get all these little breakout groups and all this stuff was going to work so well, but we're going to have to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to do that better in the future. But
yeah,
it'll
work next time for you.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I really do appreciate your being here and hanging in and participating. So thank you so much. Joan, did you have anything you wanted to say before we go? Oops.
Joan nodded off.
She's off.
She got
so relaxed.
We've
all been in the same boat.
There she is. Joan, there you are.
Okay.
She got so relaxed, she just couldn't say anything.
No, I want to thank you on behalf of all of us. And, you know, I know we talked earlier, and you've been laid off from digital many years ago, and you've recreated yourself and found happiness. So you're a good model to follow.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello?
You are currently the only person in this conference.